All right, our next speaker is Tom Ertl, a friend of many. What up, Tom? Thank you so much for being with us here. Thank you. Tom Ertl is a gentleman I got to know through his writing, first of all. Is a house builder, home builder, if you will, in Florida, and is someone we just had to have at this conference. Because he has done an excellent job of using his talents and skills in the building business, again, to serve his neighbor with his hands, but then he also serves his neighbor through the through publishing. Tom, if you could just tell us how long you've been in business, how you got started, and then we want to talk about how that business now supports kingdom work, even though building houses, frankly, is kingdom work, but it's another type of kingdom work that you're involved in now. Tell us about your start, Tom.
Yeah, I'll have to narrow that down to 2 minutes on the start because there's a lot of things involved. But I was, and you would be familiar with this, I was a package driver for UPS for 12 years. The last 4 years of it, I decided I wanted to build a house for myself and my family. So I have no experience in it. I didn't know what I was doing. And this is where the phrase comes, are you winging it? I did a lot of winging it in those days. But I got a banker to give me a loan on a personal house. And then, so I did it and, working at UPS. So this story is how a business starts. You know, many days I was there at 1 or 2 in the morning doing tile work and trim. I did a lot of my own stuff to save money. Of course that then eventually, you know, you hire everything out. So, built my first house. That worked out well. We moved in it and I was so exhausted. Because UPS, you know, as you know, that's going to be, you know, 45, 50 hours a week. So then I had a rest up for 2 years and then started another one and then moved into that. Probably the last year at UPS, and I don't think my supervisors knew what I was doing, but I was building, I built about 5 houses, had a superintendent.
While working, you built 5 houses while working at UPS.
Right, yeah. Okay. But this is the story of a life of a business guy. This is how you got to get started. And so built 5 homes, and I probably should have quit earlier, but I didn't want to give up that salary, and that dental plan was great. But I don't Ertl Homes does not have a good dental plan, I can tell you that. So it's called pay. But so the last few years, yeah, I built the 5 houses, then I just made the bold move and quit. So I was at UPS for 12 years.
Okay.
And my UPS experience was, as all the drivers say, it was good getting hired and it was good leaving.
Yeah.
So both ways.
But, yeah. You know. How many, I'm just curious, how many houses did you build while still working at UPS?
Well, that was the 4 or 5.
Oh, that was 4 or 5
yeah,
total
four
over
or five,
the years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, over the,
okay.
Well, yeah. Well, no, it was probably about 7, but it was 4 or 5 in the last year.
In the last year. Okay. All right. So then you're building houses, and then at some point, how do you get from building houses to get into the Christian publishing business? And I just want to say, folks, if you've heard of Pierre Viret, I really think you probably have Tom Ertl to thank for it. How did that happen?
Let me go back on your first comment. If you heard of Pierre Viret, you've probably had Rebecca Sheets to thank for it. I get the credit, and she'll get the blessings in heaven more than me. But because she does a lot of the translating for all that. But so here's the thing. So I got converted at 18 years old through a Pentecostal group, the Milwaukee Jesus People, and from a Roman Catholic, immediately converted into Protestantism. So when I think the best Protestant sometimes is converted Catholics, because we have a passion for the Word of God, passion for truth that we never received when we were Roman Catholic days. So I got into reading, you know, developed libraries and a passion for publishing for books. So, and then obviously my faith got moved along very well by reading Rush Dooney and North and Bonson and you know, Chilton and all, and DeMar and all the other guys we've read. So out of that, here's the thing in business. It's, and every businessman has a choice, and that is, so what am I going to do with my business as a Christian? Am I just going to make money, provide a better living for my family, take trips, you know, buy more expensive shoes? I mean, whatever. Or am I going to allocate some of those resources for the kingdom of God? And in my early charismatic days, I got saved through Pentecostals. In my early charismatic days, the charismatics taught you, even more so than Reformed faith, the importance of advancing the kingdom of God. They were real big into it. So that was part of my system. So what is it I can do beyond construction to advance Christ's lordship and kingdom and rule in the earth? So you look and you examine yourself, and I'll bring this up tomorrow in some of the talks, is, okay, what is the passion God has given me individually? And then what do I need to do with it, and how could I advance the kingdom with it? So I went the publishing route, and I've got a great story. Can I save it for tomorrow?
You certainly may
okay,
do that.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
A story of how through my trip to Switzerland, I was able to make contacts with the right kind of people by the providence of God, and got a hold of I was really commissioned by somebody, and I'll tell the story tomorrow, to translate B-Ray and Cortiol, and the other, which is the books out there on the CERC publishing table. So anyways, to answer your question, it's basically, as a business guy, I think I just can't make a little money, have a better life, and leave it as that. I've got to do something with those resources. You know, here's the thing, when you grow up as a Catholic, very knowledgeable about hell, okay, and sin and all that. We got that down pat better than the Protestants. So there's a consciousness always, all right, I'm concerned about my white throne judgment, all right? So we all laugh about it, but we all need to think about it. Okay, so the worry is, all right, Mr. Ertl, we gave you these gifts, we gave you these abilities, and what exactly did you do with it? Oh, well, I just built houses. Oh, that's it? And so you start thinking that through, and there's just something driven in me, and this is a lot of people here that are here, of I've got to use everything I have resource-wise and ability-wise to push and promote the kingdom of God beyond running a business. And that's really what a lot of my talks will be about tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. I've heard the story you're talking about, and you're going to want to hear this story. Trust me, tomorrow. One last question for you, Tom. If you had something to say to a budding, entrepreneur today, what would you tell him?
Oh, I would say, I would say two things. I think there's a phrase with millennials, work-life balance. So with an entrepreneur, it's a little different than that. It's like work, half a life and no balance, especially when you start. And then you can take one of the four works off as you kind of go further down the line. But I would say, advice-wise, two things is start early. You know, we talk about, I did an article once on birth rates in Western civilization and the criticalness of women start marrying early and having their babies in their 20s. My mother had 6 kids. By the time she was 30, it was over. And so that's true in the business realm. My brother, who's in business, my dad was in business, he always tells people, start early in your 20s is the time where you have the strength and energy to put all these hours in to build something. Don't be taking trips to Australia when you should be putting that money into a business. So I would say start early and get, and this is what if I would redo it again, I would say I needed to get more advice from older builders. It would have saved a lot of mistakes. Okay. And so start early, get a lot of advice and counsel, and go at it, and be prepared to work long hours in it. And this is my one final thing. Yeah. This is why my oldest son is a dentist today, because he's seen his dad being a builder. And I got 2 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, so I come to Matt at 13. I said, Matt, I want you to go into the building business with me. And, I mean, you could get a truck early. We could get you set up with rentals, and you could do well. And he starts tearing up, and I'm thinking, boy, what a great dad. I mean, this is just, I'm just unbelievable. And, but I found out the tearing up was, Dad, don't make me be a builder. I don't want to live like you. And I sat there, and he walked out of the room. I thought, what is my life like? I mean, that he would say something like that. Well, he's seen the hours. He's seen the phone calls at night, the crises, the difficulties and all that. So I come home one day, and this is another thought, is find out what your calling is and what you're good at. It may not necessarily be what your dad did. So I come home one day, and he's got 20 applications to dental schools on his bedroom carpet. So he ended up, he did this on his own. It wasn't me. So, and he went to dental school. He got there a little late and passed. So now he's a successful dentist, but this is what he was really made to do. He doesn't have my personality of tolerance with people to be a builder. He would have lasted about 2 months. So, you know, find out what you're good at and then go at it.
Okay.
All right.
Tom Ertl, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.